Thank you, Mr. Westhoe. Okay, let's begin with the word of prayer. Get right into our study. If you'll open the word of God to the Gospel of John 17. I've been highly intimidated by one of our listeners, listens to every one of our classes. Most of y'all know Don Becker up in Dallas Center, Iowa. And he called and he's let me know a couple of times that I taught only 20 minutes Saturday, Sunday, with the, having the Elias and all that, which he didn't get to hear. So I'm just 20 minutes. You don't have to study that much if all you're going to do is teach 20 minutes. And he said, in one of your Galatians, you taught for an hour and 30 minutes. So, yeah. Okay, let's begin with the word of prayer. And first of all, is there any special prayer request? We got Thomas, as always. And is there any other special request? Yes, hon.
Tomorrow we have the Bible study.
Yes. Good. Okay. Yeah. Well, you got to get that settled. I do understand that. So that will be in prayer for it. Any other prayer requests? Okay, let's begin with the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it was a highly intense night in the life of Jesus Christ. Several things had already happened. He had already had the last Passover and the first Lord's Supper with the disciples. Judas had already left to betray. Did some teaching. And the hour draws near, Father. Somewhere between the upper room and the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus Christ offered this prayer. So much was on his mind here. Pray that your Spirit will open our eyes to the things that you would have us to see in regard to this prayer. Father, we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. John 17, verse 24. Father. Now, this is very interesting. He says in verse 24, Father. In verse 25, Righteous Father. But let's just go over 24. Father, those you have given me, and we've already studied this, I desire, first time that we have an expression of his desire, worded that way, I desire that where I am, myself, these also may be with me. And with this reflected to us on John 14, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. So this is very much in the mind of Christ. And people, when we love someone, we want to be with them. That's the whole issue here. Now he says, in order that they may be with me, in order that they, that's you and I, may behold my glory. We're going to see him as he is, face to face. We will see him as he is. Now we have two seats up here on the front row. We have two seats up here on this front row. And so, that's great. Okay. And in order that they may behold my glory, which you have given to me. Now, in verse 22, he's already given that glory to us. I mean, you can just see the thought process going on in the Lord's mind. Which you have given me, you the Father have given me, the Son, for you did love me before the foundation of the world. Now we come to the closing of our Lord's Prayer in verse 26, but we're moving into the closing. Verse 25, Jesus Christ closes by thinking of the past, the glory given to him. Verse 26, he's going to be thinking of the future. Verse 25, Jesus Christ is thinking of the dilemma of the world, how the world of unbelievers do not know God the Father. This is still very much on his mind at this time. Now, the world does not know you, but I know you, and I will make your name known to the world. We are witnesses of Jesus Christ And Jesus Christ is a witness of God the Father, the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ. All of us are here to make the world know of God the Father, of Jesus Christ. The Father is known through Christ. When we make the world, cause the world to know Jesus Christ, we're causing them to know God the Father. Therefore, that's what Jesus Christ was saying to the disciples in the upper room. You've seen me. How do you say, show us the Father? You've seen me. And if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So when we show the world Jesus Christ, we're showing the world God the Father. When Jesus Christ prayed, we were on his mind. We know that when Jesus Christ died for us, we were on his mind. But here, he's in prayer, and we're on his mind. O righteous Father, although the world has not known thee, yet I have known thee, and these have known that thou didst send me. O righteous Father, let's take a look at O righteous Father. There's so much to gain here. I don't want to spend forever. Little bit of tonight on this, but it's so powerful, and I've just tried to take out a few of the main things here. Let's note them. One, Jesus Christ recognizes God the Father in many ways. He knows him in many aspects. Look at chapter 8, verse 49. John chapter 8, verse 49. Jesus answered, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. So he says here he recognizes the Father as his own Father. There's a personal relationship here. My Father. People, we should be honored every day. And we should give thanks to God the Father every day that we know him through Jesus Christ. If faith, believing in him is all that is involved, but it's not. It's believing in his Son and in the Father. Honoring the Father honored the Son. We get to honor the Son, and by so doing, we honor the Father. In John 3:33, God is light. We won't look at it right now, but God is light. And then in John 4:24, God is spirit. God is light. God is spirit. Another interesting passage in John 5, verse 44. Let's look at John 5:44. It's an interesting passage. John 5:44. How can you believe when you receive glory from one another, and you do not seek the glory, which is one of the primary subject matters of John 17, the Lord's Prayer. Do not seek the glory that is from the one and only God. Now, I have more I want to cover here, the one and only God, but look back at John 17. Look back at John 17. Verse 3, and this is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God. Now he puts in the word true, the only true God. But here in John 5:44, he says, and seek the glory that is from the one and only God. That is the only God that is of issue. It's just interesting to me. It doesn't blow my mind anymore. I don't know if it's I'm so old or I've just grown in my relationship with the Lord. I know he's in control of everything, but it doesn't amaze me. But they're calling it Chrislam, to put Christian and Islamic together. And there's this big movement to show that we all worship the same God and we're all really together. And it's just amazing. No, people, Allah is not the only one true God. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that is the only true God. But let's go on. And do not seek honor that cometh from God only. And the NASB says, and you do not seek the glory that is from the one and only God. Or you will note that one and are in italics. Whereas in the NIV, yet make no effort to obtain the praise that comes from the only God. So both the NIV, NASB have the correct words of Jesus Christ in reference to God the Father, the only God. Now in his prayer, he adds true, the only true God. But it is to make it more emphatic. But here in 544, the only God. The humanity of Jesus Christ recognizes that only God is the true God. The idolatrous Allah is not God. Only the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is the only God. And we saw that. Now, and let's go back to John 17. John 17, and where we have the only true God in verse 3 that we looked at. And then if you look at verse 11 in John 17, verse 11, and he says, and I am no more in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world, and I have come to thee, Holy Father. Now in verse 25, righteous Father. And so why anyone would desire to pray to anyone else, even Jesus Christ, is beyond me. I mean, we're praying to God, the only true God. And people, we have the privilege of doing that. We have that privilege. Let's put it into a human perspective. Forget who the person is. Which one of us can just go up and talk with the President of the United States of America? We can't. Got to have an appointment. Let's bring it even down. How many of us can go and just walk in and talk to the governor of the state of Texas? Which to me would be more honorable, but anyway. Regardless of who's in office. But people, you have and I have the opportunity of addressing and talking with the only true God. That's just astounding. The author of the whole plan. Greater than Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ says that. Greater is he who sent me. And we have that privilege. So let's keep bear in mind what we have when we're talking about these things. Now the second major thing I want to point out about righteous Father. Let's look at the vocatives here in the Lord's Prayer. His consciousness of just who he is going in prayer to. All right? In verse 1, 5, 21, 24, Jesus Christ uses the vocative Father. In verses 1, 5, 21, and 24, Father. That's a phenomenal phrase. I'm so sorry we live in a time which we do. Because Father is not a good word to many, many people. Father is not a good word to many, many girls. I'm sorry. Father is not a good word to even a lot of young men. A lot of people try to earn their love and the respect of their father. And I know adult kids, I call them kids, but these adults who still carry in their soul a problem of their relationship with their father. They never were able to get his approval. They never were able to do this or that. That to me is horrifying. I sometimes think when I hear different stories like that I thank God that my dad died and my mother reared me and I didn't have that complication. I don't know what it would have been like had he lived and all. I don't know what I would have been like. But I know that I just love that old woman that reared me. And I love the way she did it. But I've met so many people that they just had a struggle with their dad. And their father, many girls had trouble, and I'm talking about bad trouble. So it's become not a really good word for a lot of people, but in its concept, Father is a beautiful word. Father is a word of comfort, relationship, all these things. So it becomes something really, really beautiful. Well, in verse 11, he says, Holy Father, Agios, set apart, without blemish, hallowed, worthy of praise, reverend, veneration. Let's look for a moment at Revelation 4:8. Revelation 4:8. I'm going to pull one. Just came for me to do this. What's chapter 4 about? Chapter 1, and then chapters 2 and 3, the seven churches. Chapter 4, heaven. The rapture's occurred, the scene's in heaven. See? So there you go. All right. Wow. Okay, that's always a dangerous thing for a preacher to do. Dr. Ryrie told me in seminary, he said, boy, I always hate to go back and ask them the questions I taught, because if they don't know it, I'm going to be so embarrassed. So let's look at Revelation chapter 4, verse 8. And the four living creatures, each one of them having six wings. Ah, so what are the four living creatures? We know they're not human. They're angelic. Okay? Living creatures, each having six wings. Different angels, categories of angels, are known by their wings. Some have single, just one wing. Some have two wings, two on each side, but one on each side. But this one has six wings. Six. Anyway, six wings. Right. And the four living creatures, each one of them having six wings, are full of eyes around and within, and day and night they do not cease to say, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was and is to come, referring to God the Father. Look at Isaiah 5:16. Look at Isaiah 5:16. When Chris came and wanted to do the pastor's training book, and I thought about it, and then some others said they wanted to. We started out with a nice group. Started out with some people. But it went down, man. It went down. And then I got to thinking, 2 hours every Sunday afternoon through football season, through the hot summer when I could be out in the sun, on and on. But I want to tell you, I love it. It has been so enriching to me to go back and just put back into my mind the things that I've studied before and come to realize before. But let's look at Isaiah chapter 5, verse 16. Isaiah 5:16. But the Lord of hosts will be exalted in judgment, and the holy God will show himself holy in righteousness. Now, this is an important verse because what in our prayer, John 17, he said, Holy Father and Righteous Father. Look at the verse again, verse 16. But the Lord of hosts, Jesus Christ, will be exalted in judgment. And the Holy God, this is God the Father, Holy God, and that's what Jesus Christ says in his prayer, John 17, will show himself holy in righteousness. And he calls him a righteous father. So we have both of these at play in the study. So Jesus Christ calls holy and the holy father. And in verse 25 of John 17, we have righteous father. So this is so powerful that we know God the Father. Then I'd like to ask you, what's your view of God? Is your view of God from the Bible? Is your view of God from religion, from some works thing? Now, major point three. Major point two was the vocatives that Jesus Christ used in reference to the Father. Now, let's look at point three. Here in verse 25, righteous Father. Let's concentrate on that title now. Dikaios, right, just, righteous. Now, let's note the request. Let's note the request to God the Father that His divine love be in them as it is in him. As we will see, Jesus Christ closes this prayer petitioning in favor of each of us. Now here's the point that I want to make here. A lot of people have the idea that righteousness is always related to judgment. That he's this righteous God up there, and he's got his little stick to hit you with, and to make marks, and he's this righteous God, and it's all about judgment. People, let me tell you, a lot of blessing comes from his righteousness. In the scriptures, a lot of his righteousness, a lot of blessings come from the righteousness of God. So, let's take a look now to the see the significance of the addressing the Father as righteous Father. Note that he is praying for those who belong to him. Now, getting ready for coming up, look at Romans chapter 5, verse 20 a moment. Romans 5, 20. Coming up someday in our study. All right, Romans 5, 20. That's not the one I wanted. I don't know what happened. Oh, 20 and 21. Yes, that's it. 20 and 21. 520. The law came in that transgression might increase. But where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. That as sin reigneth in death, even so, grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, I want you to note the relationship of the righteousness and eternal life here. This life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, in the closing prayer of Jesus Christ, praying, Jesus Christ is praying in regard to those who have believed in him, all born-again believers of the church age, and by the righteousness of God were imputed the righteousness of God, and it leads to eternal life. That's what it leads to. Okay, let's go back now to John 17:25. O righteous Father, although the world has not known thee, yet I have known thee. And these have known that thou didst send me. Well, there's so much in this here beside the righteousness of God. Look at how many times the word to know is here. The world has not known thee once, yet I have known thee twice. And these have known that thou didst send me. Three times we have the emphasis on knowing. So, this is the status of the world in our passage. They do not know God. This is in contrast with Jesus Christ, who does know God. The contrast of the world, unbeliever, they don't know God. Contrasted with Jesus Christ, who does know God. Now, we must look, first of all, at two conjunctive chi's. Two conjunctive chi's. I tell you what, let me just stop as I put this on the board. I'm just so thankful for y'all. I really cannot tell you how much I pray and am thankful that y'all want to study the Bible. There was a church in Kansas City. I knew the pastor before he deceased, and they're without a pastor. So they're looking for a pastor. I think I told you, a friend of mine, Gene Brown, went there just to, not really candidate, but let them see him, he'd see them and all. And they came up to him when he got through, and they said, it is so wonderful having sound verse-by-verse teaching this morning. Are you available? And so poor Gene had to make a fast decision, because that very Sunday, a church up in Indiana was voting whether or not to have him come in as the pastor. Now, they had been dragging their feet for about 3 or 4 weeks, and really dragging their feet on how much they were going to be able to pay Gene Brown and his wife. So, Jody Brown, Jody Brown and his wife, But the bottom line of all of this, two things. One, Jody just went home and prayed and talked thing about it. And he said, I owe it to the people in Indiana. I need to stay there. And they want more teaching. And they said they'd even get him an overhead and they'd do some work with him on some things. But see, he has a wonderful opportunity of being a shepherd teacher. They weren't used to teaching. Now he's done some teaching periodically, but not on anything consistent basis. So, and we talked about that. He's going to have a wonderful opportunity just to show them how important it is to know the Word of God. So, be in prayer for Jody Brown and for the church up in Indiana and also the church in Kansas City. So, you'll see. But they just said, oh God, wow, that was just so wonderful. Hearing good, solid teaching. And I'm just so appreciative of you. Well, we have two conjunctive chi's. You know the chi looks like this in the Greek. That's K-A-I. And generally translated and. It covers several pages in a lexicon just to get all the nuances of that little word chi. Now, although, see the word although in verse 25? That's a conjunctive chi. As is the and before the word these. See? And so you have two different words, and these. So you have although, that's chi, and then you have the word translated and, which is the way chi is usually translated. Now, while the conjunction has so many different nuances, from simple and to the correlative although, but the use of these two chi's sets a dramatic contrast in this passage, where one is translated although, and the other is translated and. What Jesus Christ is doing when he words it in this manner, I'll tell you what he's doing, is bringing together two contrary groups of people. He's bringing together two contrary groups of people on the very basis of that which sets them apart. Now, with that in mind, it could be translated, and the world has not known you, and these have known that you sent me. That's a good way to show two different groups. The world and the world did not know you, and these have known that you sent me. Now, the reason for this emphasis is missed because of something Jesus Christ does between these two contrasting groups of people. So we don't want to contrast Jesus Christ and the world here. Grammatically, the contrast is between the world and those who have come to know you. So if you look at your text, O righteous Father, although the world has not known thee, and these have known that thou didst send me. That's really grammatically the contrast that Jesus Christ is emphasizing. But what he does that it's missed is that he puts something, a third fact, in between them that will help explain the second group. Yet I have known you. Now it seems like what you have in contrast, Jesus Christ is saying, the world hasn't known you, I've known you. Those are the two. But grammatically, the two groups that Jesus Christ is looking at is the world of unbelievers and the world of believers. Those are the two contrasts as far as he's concerned. The world is contrasted in this manner. Those who do not know and those who do know. And how do those who do know, how do they know? Because I know you. Because I know you, these know you. And these are in contrast with the world that does not know you. So, in between the two is the point, yet I have known you. As we will see, this is how the second group comes to know about God the Father. It's because of Jesus Christ revealing the Father. And people, it is so important that we understand the joy, the grace of knowing God the Father. So, let's take a look now. Although the world, okay, this is the first chi, used to introduce two opposites. And the two opposites, again, the world does not refer to planet Earth, created by Jesus Christ, restored by the Holy Spirit, but here it refers to unbelievers on planet Earth. Has not known you. This is their condition. This is their condition. You got to be able to look at your condition, the condition of others. This is their condition. They do not know you. This is their existence. In contrast to those who do know you. So this is their position on earth. Has not known you. This is the aorist active indicative of the Greek word gynosko. G-I-N-O-S-K-O. Gynosko plus the negative. Ooh. Absolutely not know you, righteous Father. And people, if it wasn't for Jesus Christ, we wouldn't know him. If it wasn't for the Holy Spirit, we wouldn't know him. All right, let's note a few things. One, no man can know God by the wisdom of the flesh. We've been studying this in some detail in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 and 2, really. By the wisdom of man, they cannot know God. I don't care what your IQ is. I don't care how many books you've written on theology. Without the Holy Spirit, you cannot know God in the wisdom of the flesh. Point 2. Now here's the kicker, point 2. God the Father has revealed himself to the world. That's the beauty. And I'm not talking about through Jesus Christ. God the Father has revealed himself to the world. Look at Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And let's read together verses 18 through 22. Romans 1, 18 through 22. For the wrath of God, okay, people, there's wrath. I don't care what any preachers today are saying. I don't care what people are saying. There is the wrath of God. And the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness without God and unrighteousness of men who suppress, okay, the truth in unrighteousness. That means they have it and they suppressed it. In unrighteousness. Because that which is known about God, here's our key now, that which is known about God is evident within them. For God made it evident within them. People, everyone knows God. You can quickly say no. But it's evident in you. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, the unseen, his eternal power, his divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. I am amazed and still am amazed. People can look at the grandeur of the heavens, the structure of it, the certainty of it, all of the universes out there. Oh, that just happened. They just, and a Big Dipper came up, and the bull came up, and all these things, that just happened. Nobody designed all of that. I mean, to me, you've got to take a lot of faith just to believe that just happened. That takes a lot of faith. To me, it's a lot more faith than it is for me to, God created it. But to believe that it just exploded that way, that's a lot of faith. Verse 21. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God. Or give thanks that he had revealed himself. But they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. And we're living in a time when we're a darkened society in America. Professing to be wise, they became fools. So this is the status quo of mankind. So under point one here, we have no man can know God by the wisdom of the flesh. This is seen in point two. God revealed himself to the world. Romans 8:22. The world didn't want to recognize him. Point three. God the Father, through the Holy Spirit, reveals the being of the one true God at God consciousness, which everyone has to go through. Everyone has to make their first crucial decision right here. If they believe in the being of the one true God, or they do not believe in the one true God. And over my years in the denominational church, we'd have various missionary stories. Somebody goes in, one convert. You know, you're not going to get a lot of people behind you if you've got one lousy convert. I don't care, you've been out there 5 years in the jungle or in China or in India, and you come home, one. And you're not going to feel good. But people, I hope you understand that's the faithfulness of God. There was one African. There was one Chinese, one Indian in India that said, yes, I believe there is a God out there. And people, God made sure he heard about the true God. I remember, in fact, the same Jody Brown that we were just talking about, now that comes to my mind, has been to Africa many times. And he tells a story where you flew in, and then you drive, and then you bicycle, and then you walk. And they walked into this jungle area, and about a day's walk, I'm not sure. And when they got there, as they went into this little village, they saw what we would call just a board like this where you could obviously sit down, and a whole bunch of those. And he met the chief, and he said, we want to talk to you, and I'd like to talk to your village about Jesus Christ, the Son of the true God. And he went on, and the chief stood up. I wish Jody was here to tell you the story. Jesus stood up and said, this is great. This is great. We worship him. We just didn't know his name. You've just now given us a name. The name Jesus. Please tell my people his name. And so this is the type of thing that goes on. You got someone like Livingston. Traveled all over. I mean, it was just a miracle. He didn't get eaten by lions, eaten by natives, killed by natives, killed by snakes, killed by mosquitoes, killed by malaria, killed by 100 things could have happened. And he just roamed through all by himself. Most of the way was by himself. He would just roam through here, there, and he would give the gospel. That wasn't his. He just told them about Jesus Christ. And I don't know if you know the story about Livingston. It's a wonderful read if you don't know a story. But when he died, England wanted his body shipped to England, but the natives wanted his heart. And they kept his heart and buried his heart in Africa. So his body is buried in London, his heart is buried in Africa. And he just went through and he gave out the gospel. But let's just say Livingston was here and he said, I don't know what it was all about. All I got was two people believing in him. What you've just heard is the faithfulness of God. Don't worry about only two. Look at the magnitude of all that God went through to get those two people the gospel. That's what kind of God he is. So, point three, God the Father, through the Holy Spirit, reveals the being of the one true God at God consciousness, and everyone then makes that decision. Either they believe in it or they don't believe. Now, point four. Knowing of this God, again, is not up to the wisdom of man. It's not up to the wisdom of man. You take, let's just go back to the example, the native in Africa. He doesn't have a lot of education, a lot of that kind of wisdom. But, okay, there's a God, yes. There's someone in control, and I believe in him. And I wished I knew more about him. God gets in the gospel. So, point four, knowing this God, again, is not up to the wisdom of man. The Holy Spirit reveals the true God, and therefore, he will get the gospel message. Point five. Once one believes in the one true God, and desires to know him, to come to him, the Holy Spirit will reveal Jesus Christ. the Holy Spirit will reveal Jesus Christ. I don't know what your prayer life is. I can tell you about my private prayer. When I think about what happens on Wednesday night, the Wises, Thursday night, the Dags, at the camp and all, my hope is that just there's one or two kids along the way each day, each time, that don't go to a church, don't know a thing about God, and learn about God, and learn about Jesus Christ. To me, that is powerful. Okay, point six. Let's look at this theologically. Theologically. Man knows that he is a sinner. Man knows that he's wrong. Then he asks, why? Why do I know this? How do I know I'm wrong? What God is there revealing these things to me? I desire to know him. Or, I do not desire to know him. I am a sinner, and they would not use that word. I'm wrong, I'm bad, and I'd like to know God, or I'm bad and I don't want to know him. I just want to go on with my life. And now finally, point seven. Now you're ready for the phrase, O righteous Father. God the Father is righteous. He is right. He is just in his condemnation of this first group, for they have refused to know him. But these who have come to know you, Father, by my revelation, are worthy of what I am asking you. Now let me go over this so I want you to understand why he calls him righteous Father here. That's what's important. Why righteous Father when we consider his request? God the Father is a righteous and just God. In his condemnation of the first group, those who do not know God refuse to know him. But to those who did come to know him, those who did believe and respond to the ministry of the Holy Spirit, what I am asking of you then, what I am asking you is in regard to those, that the love you loved me may be in them. And people, this is up to a righteous God, whether or not this is going to be done. It's up to a righteous God whether we will have salvation. It's up to a righteous God whether or not we will have this love. What a phenomenal ending to this great prayer, centered on the love of God the Father for us. I think what I was so taken here is that we're not talking about the love of Jesus Christ here. Because that's what I've always been our emphasis. Love one another as Jesus Christ loved. But people, now we're not talking about Jesus Christ's love. We're talking about the love of God the Father. This is a crescendo to all of these things. This is a phenomenal ending centered on the love of God the Father. Now the next line in verse 25, Jesus sets up the condition of this great contrast between the world of unbelievers and the body of believers. That is, sets up a contrast between himself and the world of unbelievers. This is not the primary intention. This is not the primary contrast. But it is nevertheless a contrast. And it's essential in understanding this third group. They do not know God. Jesus Christ knows God. Okay? And therefore the third group will know God. But I, ego, in other words, this could be translated, I myself. I myself have known you. Now we have a repeat of the aorist active indicative of gnosko, the force of the aorist active indicative. I've always known you. Okay? Now, question. How does Jesus know the righteous Father? It's a bona fide question. I know you. How does he know the righteous Father? Okay, let's look at John 7, verse 59. John 7, 59. There is no 59. How about 29? How about me putting on my glasses? John 7, 29. I know him because I am from him and he sent me. That's how Jesus Christ knows God the Father, the righteous Father. I know him. I hope every one of you can say that. I hope every one of you take no apology. It's not arrogance. I know him. Now, we'll add very quickly, the important thing is out of Galatians, does he know you? That's what's important. It's important that we know him, but in Galatians, does he know you? And if you're in his son, he knows you. So we can boast, I am known by God. That's a powerful statement. I am known by God. There's the comfort. There's the real joy. I'm known by him. It's one thing to I know so-and-so. Well, do they know you? Oh, yeah. Would they recognize you or your name? Well, I don't know. Don't push it. They just, I met them. But to God the Father knows us, and we know him. This is powerful. Look at chapter 8. Chapter 8, verse 54 and 55. Jesus answered, if I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. Nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, whom you say he is our God. And you have not come to know him. People, that's a horrible statement that you don't really know God. But I know him. And if I say that I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you. It's a nice way of giving them a horrible insult. But I do know him and keep his word. So I just can't even imagine not knowing him. I don't know how people today, the unbelievers that flaunt their morality, flaunt their ignorance, flaunt their arrogance. I don't know how they do it without him. But I do know they do, just like I've often told you, you'd make it. You'd make it as unbelievers, you'd make it through disaster. But you wouldn't be glorifying him. But the point I want to make here is that the knowing of God the Father. Let's look at Matthew at chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, and let's read together verses 25 through 30. Matthew 11, 25 through 30. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I praise thee, O Father. This is the Lord talking now. It's another prayer by the Lord. Lord of heaven and earth, that thou didst hide these things from the wise and intelligent, and didst reveal them to babes. Yes, Father, for thus it was well-pleasing in your sight. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him, the Father. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. What is that heavy laden from? Doing the law. And I will give you rest. Faith in Jesus Christ. Take my yoke, grace through faith, upon you, and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. If we had the time, we'd look at Isaiah 28 on this one. You'd have rest for your souls. Rest, give rest to the weary. For my yoke is easy, and my load is light. Not do, but simply rest on Jesus Christ. So this is important to our study. All right, let's look at John 6. Gospel of John, chapter 6. I like going to passages rather than giving you points. Because if you write them down, you can read them now and then read them later on your own and let them settle into your souls. John 6, and let's look at 46. Not that any man has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Father and God, equivalent. He has seen the Father. All right. From God, sent from God. He's from God, he's sent from God. Let's look at John 8, verse 19. John 8:19. And so they were saying to him, "Where is your Father?" Jesus answered, "You know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also." There have been a lot of speculations on why and what happened to Joseph, the husband of Mary. People, I believe that one reason he just went out of the picture was so that no focus would be made on him as their earthly father. I really do believe that. And so that the only focus of Father, as far as the humanity of Jesus was concerned, is God, the Father. Okay? Let's look at verse 55 in John 8. Verse 55. "And you have not come to know him, but I know him." See how often this flows through the whole Gospel of John. And here it is in the Lord's Prayer. "And if I say that I do not know him, I shall be like you, liars. But I do know him, and have kept his word." Look at chapter 10. Verse 15. 10:15. "Even as the Father knows me, I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep." Now the thing here, and a verse like this, is not the ideal of the knowing, but the results of the knowing. That's what you don't want to miss. See? "Even as the Father knows me, I know the Father. And because I know the Father," be the idea here, "I lay down my life for the sheep." What does "I lay down my life for the sheep" have to do with him knowing the Father and Father knowing him? If you know what the Father wants you to do, that's what you do. So I know the Father. And the Father would have me lay down my life for the sheep. This is what is so important about passages like this. All right, chapter 14, verse 17. I hope you're getting the recall enough, even though we do this every week, so you got 7 days, 6 days between each study, but it was always on Christ's mind, "I've been sent by the Father, and I know what the Father wants me to do." And people, let me just intrude on your life. I hope this is constant in your mind. "I'm here by assignment from Jesus Christ." And we already saw that in John 17. "I'm here sent from him. And I know what he wants me to do. He doesn't want me to get so involved in the world that I'm holding on to the world. He sent me to make known the Father. He has sent me to make himself known. That's what I'm here for." It's all these other things that just will just completely overtake me in this world, in America especially. Just, we need to set aside. Now, I know why I'm here. I'm here for one primary reason, that the world will know Jesus Christ. The world will know God the Father. People that we come in contact with, people that you come in contact with. I won't come in contact with those that you come in contact with. They won't come in contact with those you come in contact with. And if those you come in contact with are ever going to know God the Father, ever going to know about the love of Christ, it's going to be from you, because he's not here. Nobody's seen Jesus Christ today physically. He's not here. So if anyone's going to see the love of Christ, it's not going to be through somebody teaching it. They're going to see that love through you. That's how they're going to see it. That's how they're going to know God the Father. Okay? Let's look at John 15, 21. Chapter 15, verse 21. "But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because of my name, because they do not know the one who sent me. That's how close he was to the Father. You're doing this to me, not because you don't know who I am. Hey, you know who I am? I'm Jesus. I'm the Son of God. I'm the Savior of mankind. What are you doing? Now, what does he say? They do these things because they don't know him. It's not even about him in that verse. Just like it's not about us. The battle is not about us. The battle is about God, the Father. The battle is about Jesus Christ. It's not about us. And if we suffer because of our witness of Christ, whatever suffering that may be, it may be physical, it may be economical, it may be a lot of different ways that we might suffer, but it's not about us. We've got to get our eyes off ourselves. And this is what Jesus, I think it's so remarkable. They're doing these things not because of me, because they don't know him. They don't know who sent me. Now, if you take that and just think for a moment, we're not ready to turn there, but go back to John 17, 25 and 26, they will know what? They will know that you sent me. Remember that in 17, 25? What will they know? They know that you sent me. That's very important. That the world knows that God the Father sent Jesus Christ. Look at 16:3. And these things they will do because they have not known the Father or me. So all the horrible things because they don't know God the Father. People, I hope that I can relay this. There's just a peace that comes with me, no matter what I read, that the Supreme Court or any judge or any politician or whatever they do today, it doesn't surprise me. We live in a time when they don't know God. They don't know him. This is evident. They want to prove that he didn't create the world, that Jesus didn't create the world, that there is no God. Take him out of school. Take him out of all of these things. It doesn't surprise me. I'm just amused when I read the paper and see, well, what crazy things are they doing now? What anti-God things are they doing? And they don't know, because they don't even know the true God. We should be ever grateful that Jesus Christ has revealed God the Father to us, people. How else would we know him if Jesus Christ had not revealed him to us? Had not one person believed in Jesus Christ as Savior, Jesus Christ's mission is not a failure. He revealed him, whether or not we wanted to see it or not. He has made known God the Father to the world, starting in chapter 1 of the Gospel of John, where the light came into the world. That's the Christmas story. But there are multitudes through history who have known God the Father and known that God the Father has sent the Son to bring man to himself. Like the disciples. Now, Jesus Christ continues his contrast to the two groups of people in the world throughout all history. Look what he says, John 17, 25. And these have known that you did send me. I hope after seeing all these passages about, and you sent me, that I know you sent me, that I am sent of you. Look at here now. And they have known that you did send me. And I dare say, everyone in this room, one thing is common about every one of us, we know God the Father sent Jesus Christ. Why Jesus Christ? What's so special about Jesus Christ? Point one, he's the only one sent by God the Father to be the Redeemer of the world. He's the only one. No one else. That's the first thing we know about him. He is the one sent by God the Father. Then we can get into other things about Jesus Christ. But what makes him so special? Why do you Christians so caught up on Jesus? What's so special about Jesus? He's the only one sent of the Father. That's our only answer. We say he's the only Savior, but to get in with the text, God the Father. And the point, the reason we can start there is that everyone knows God. Now, they may have rejected him. They may have suppressed him, as in Romans 1. But everyone knows. So when we say, he's the only one that's sent by God the Father. Okay. I don't even have to explain God the Father. He's the only one sent by God. Okay. that starts me off in knowing who and what Jesus Christ is. Now, before we look at this phrase, let's don't miss the whole importance of it. What is the relationship of the contrast of these two groups? And the world has not known you, and these have known that you sent me. All right, let's close with a question. How did the second group know that Jesus Christ was sent by God the Father? How did they know that? I'm asking you. Well, by faith, but how did they know what to believe? Jesus Christ revealed it. I'm sent of the Father. Either you believe Him or you don't. How did they know that God indeed sent Jesus Christ to redeem? They did not grasp this by their own understanding. They did not grasp this by their human wisdom, couldn't have figured it all out. So, you're ready now what Jesus Christ said between these two statements. But I've known you. People, we know that Jesus Christ has been sent by God the Father because Jesus Christ reveals this to us over and over and over. I am sent of the Father. We know this at His very birth. We're going to know it as we go through the crucifixion and resurrection. We know He is the only one sent by the Father. It doesn't matter what Joseph Smith or Muhammad or anybody else says. We know from this book, and we're confined to the knowledge of God from this book, the book from God, that this is the only one sent of God to be the Redeemer of the world. They have this knowledge of God and Jesus Christ because He has told them, and the Holy Spirit makes it real. People were so dependent on all three members of the Godhead. It amazes me how much they go through. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, that you and I know about God, that He sent Jesus Christ, and through Jesus Christ, we know about God. We want to come to the Father. No one comes to the Father but through me. You want a relationship with God? It's not going to be on your own. It's not going to be outside of Jesus Christ. It's going to be through Jesus Christ to God the Father. So we're ready to continue here next Wednesday evening. Any questions? Okay, let's close in a word of prayer. Wow. That's all I know to say, Father. All that You've done, that we might know You. You put it inside of us when we were born as unbelievers, sinners. And then, Heavenly Father, You sent Your Son. And then You've given us Your Word. And Your Holy Spirit makes these things real to us. We're overwhelmed, Heavenly Father, with the relationship between You and Jesus Christ. Sometimes, Heavenly Father, we think that Jesus Christ is someone that we really can't approach. But Yours and His relationship are so close. And then, Heavenly Father, we realize that He's our friend. That He came to reveal You to us. And we're so thankful. We're thankful, Father, that You didn't make it dependent upon our human IQ, our human wisdom. Just our simple faith. Father, I pray You'll take the things we've seen tonight about Jesus Christ and His relationship with You. And let it, Heavenly Father, become an added impact in our own relationship with You and with Your Son through Your Spirit and through this Word. We thank You for the Word. We thank You for the Holy Spirit revealing and writing down this prayer by Jesus Christ that we might learn about Jesus Christ and learn about You. Father, we praise You. In Christ's name, amen.